Your Way Home, Real Talk on Real Estate. I'm Sherry Doherty, and together we'll explore what finding your way home truly means, whether you're buying your first place, making a move, investing, or choosing a different path altogether. Because home isn't just a place. It's a feeling, it's a choice, and it's personal. Tune in Mondays at 10 a.m. and start finding your way home. Well, it's Monday at 10 a.m., and that's a happy coincidence that that was the promo playing right before our first show. Welcome to Finding Your Way Home. My name is Sherry Doherty, and I am your host, and every week we will be bringing you real talk on real estate straight from the Kingston, Ontario real estate market. Now, what does finding your way home mean, and why is the show called that? The big reason is it is for you. Whatever your way means, it's different for everyone. So many people have the dream of home ownership. And yes, I'm a real estate agent, and that is what I do every day, is help people find their ways to home ownership. But home ownership isn't always the option for everyone, and it isn't always the best decision. And we want to acknowledge that. There's also many different stages in life when you have to make a real estate decision. So you might be purchasing your first home. You might be upsizing because you're having a second or third child. You might be getting divorced and you're trying to find a different path for yourself. You might have experienced a loss, so it could be an estate sale, or you could be an investor or looking for a recreational property. Or you could have just decided home ownership isn't for you, and that's okay, because home ownership actually isn't for everyone. There's many reasons and many options on how you can invest your money, and tying it all up into one significantly large asset like a home isn't always the choice for everyone. And some people just step away from home ownership when they get a little bit older and they'd like to write a check to a landlord every month, who then can take care of things like the maintenance of the home and the property taxes and all the complications that come along with home ownership. And maybe you're just on the path, and there are times when we're also going to bring in people to talk about the rental market and what great leasing opportunities there are, how you can be a great tenant, and actually how you can be a great landlord. One of the exciting things about being given this forum is the fact that I am not going to be hosting this show alone. I apologize that today you're going to listen to me chat for 30 minutes to myself, but in the future we're going to bring on lots of guests who are industry experts. Real estate is not a solo transaction. It definitely takes a team of experts to get you successfully across the finish line and into your next home. And I'm very excited that I will be bringing on lots of guests. We already have several lined up, everything from a mortgage agent to a lawyer to a home inspector, and also just to the spouse or the family of a realtor, because realtor life is a little chaotic and it's not necessarily for everyone. So why this show? The show has been born because real estate is important to everyone. Everyone deserves to have a roof over their head and a safe place to land at the end of every day, regardless of what that looks like for you, like we talked about just previously. People always want to talk about how is the market, and people always want to know what their homes are worth. It is literally one of the number one things that is chatted about when people gather. And so because we have the opportunity, I want to make sure people have accurate information, and accurate information comes from data. You will often hear people say, well, my neighbor got three offers and my cousin got $100,000 over asking price. And there's so many things that come into that. And it is definitely not a stable or normal market. We haven't had an actual normal, and I'm using air quotes, market since 2019. There has been a lot going on in the world, as everyone knows, since 2019. And so when we look at benchmarks in our industry, really the last normalized benchmark that we can look at is actually 2019. So I want to empower people with data. I want to help them be knowledgeable and understand what they're hearing. And I want to make sure that they can ask the right questions when they are in those conversations. and then why us? So like I mentioned, my name is Sherry Doherty. I am the leader of the Stage One Real Estate team at RE/MAX Finest Realty. I have a team member. His name is Rob Francis, and he was serving in the military for 29 years. So he absolutely is our military move expert in the area, and he will be on upcoming shows. We also have a full array of larger team members as well that support us. We come from one of the largest brokers in the local area. We also often, and the just greater team, like I mentioned, would be people like the lawyers that we work with, the mortgage agents. I know everything from a home inspector to someone who can declutter your home for you and stage your home. We have repair handy people within our network. We can get your well tested. We can get your septic tank tested. We can help you restage the home, like I mentioned. There's just a whole network, and it absolutely takes a team. So I'm very honored to have the opportunity to bring this voice and this opportunity to people to listen to our local experts talk in that way about the teamwork it takes to get you into your next home, regardless of what that looks like. So I wanted to do a little bit of an education today and help people understand who we are in our area market, what we represent, and the areas that we service. And you will often hear people say KAREA, so that is the Kingston and Area Real Estate Association, and that is the member association that we are all members of that rolls up to a Greater Ontario Real Estate Association and then a Greater Canadian Real Estate Association, obviously. But we hold ourselves out to the highest standards. And in our region, there's about, it fluctuates, but I'm going to say 600-ish licensed realtors at any given time in our market. Please bear in mind that a lot of them are inactive. They just hold licenses. And then a lot of them are also part-time because they have other things that they need to do. But there are people like myself who are 100% professional realtors all day, every day in the business. And this is our reason for being. We service a lot of areas, but I thought it would be interesting to start with telling people what I will not do, because it is something that I rant about a little bit. So I will start by telling you that I will not sell a house in Toronto. I will also not sell a house in Ottawa. The reason is I am not an expert in Toronto or Ottawa. I don't live there. I'm not in the community, and I'm not living and breathing and working with those people every single day. So I'd be doing a disservice to my buyers or sellers if I tried to go into the Toronto market or go into, say, the Ottawa market. Now, on the flip side of that, I highly, highly, highly recommend that when you are buying or selling real estate in our local market, you work with a local agent. If the agent that you're talking to can't tell you when the buses run, what the school district is, or where to get the best pizza or wings or even a haircut, please don't work with that realtor. They don't know our market. They don't know the nuances. They don't know how to price correctly. And you are doing yourself a disservice by working with someone who is not a local realtor. We also are directly contributing to this community. So most of us are professionals and do many other things within the community, whether or not you are somebody that you might see at your child's hockey game, someone you might see at your church, someone you might see at the hospital, or contributing to the other variety of charities in a number of different ways. My husband and I are very active in other charities within the community. And it's really important because you are helping feed another local business. And at the end of the day, realtors are business people, and we really sincerely appreciate being able to share our expertise with the people who give us the honor to serve them. And the reason I say it that way is I've always approached real estate in the way that I completely acknowledge and recognize that real estate is the largest financial transaction of your lifetime. And if you choose to work with us, we should be honored and know that that is a privilege. And we will treat it every single time as a privilege, because regardless of whether your home is $200,000 or $3 million, it is still your largest transaction and your largest financial asset. So it is a privilege to sit across the table from people, help them work through where their life path is taking them. And we want to treat it every single time in that way. So please, the message, if you take anything else away from today or from listening to us, is always work with a local realtor. Now, what does local look like? Like I mentioned, we are the Kingston and Area Real Estate Association, just over 600 members, and it is a very wide geography. So I thought it would be interesting to point that out for people today, what that means. It is not just Kingston proper within the city limits. We actually, on the north end, go up to Addington Heights, so up Highway 7, Madoc. I'm often up there. I sell some rural property. I currently have one for sale up in Charmette Lake. So we cover all of Frontenac North, Central Frontenac, and South Frontenac. We also go out to Stone Mills, Greater Napanee, and all of Lennox and Addington. We also service Prince Edward County and often into Belleville. And then on the east side, we also go out to Gananoque, the Thousand Islands, and then as well up to Brockville. That's pretty much the area that Korea covers as a priority and as our primary focus. And in there, there's a vast array of types of properties. So as you know, we have luxury waterfront homes here on the St. Lawrence or on Lake Ontario, right in Kingston. We also have first-time starter homes. There's lots of areas with new build townhomes, which is often where people start. We have neighborhood homes. We also have, when you are moving into South or North Frontenac, lots of leisure properties. And we live in an area with some of the most incredible lakefront homes. If you've ever been to Loughborough Lake, it is a spectacular spot and a beautiful place we kind of all dream of living on, including myself. And then when you're living on or purchasing a rural property, there's really important things to think about that people may not have thought about, but you want to make sure that if you're buying a rural property, that there is sufficient water supply in the land. And people don't necessarily know this, but if there is not a water source, you often can't get a mortgage on the property. Your mortgage company generally will not provide you with funds to purchase a home if the well does not produce at least 4 gallons per minute on a recovery rate. It's just a little tidbit, but it's the kind of thing that people may not know. They may get very, very excited about a home, and then they could actually be caught if they didn't test those things. So by means of an example of the services we offer, when you are purchasing a rural home, we will make sure that we have a well professional with us who will test the water from a quantity and a quality perspective. From a quantity perspective, we always want to make sure that it is clean water that's healthy and safe for you and your family. And we do that by testing. We want to make sure that there is zero E. coli and zero bacteria in the home. And then back into the city, if you are considering condo life, there's lots of different things you need to know about condo life. What does that even mean? What does its structure look like? What do the documents look like? And what is the health of the overall condo corporation going to do for you and your family if that's a place that you choose to move into? What's the risk of any upcoming special assessments, and what do your condo fees actually cover? And actually, that is going to be episode number 2. I happened to sell a number of condos last year in what is perceived to be a very quiet condo market. I don't know how I did so well in condos, but it's very top of mind for me because I also have a couple more on the market and one conditionally sold. So I thought while I was thinking a lot about condos, I would share that with you all as well for episode 2. So stay tuned next Monday when we talk about the condo market. What I'd like to do, though, is bring it back down a little bit so we can learn about the stats. And I brought with me some interesting information today. I'm going to share with you some data because what I said in the beginning is data is power. And we all want to understand when people are talking about the real estate market. So the data that I'm going to provide to you right now is actually for all of Kingston and area, that big geography that I was talking about, for all of 2025. So just some sound bites or some numbers you can jot down. And then if you think about them a little further, at least you're able to discuss them in an intelligent, data-driven way. So for all types of homes, and that is everything, like I said, from a condominium to a townhome to a fully detached luxury home. It could be a mobile home, to be honest, or an investment property or a recreational property. In the larger Kingston area for 2025, there were 2,922 homes sold. That was for the full year. Now, interesting is that it was perceived to be a very slow and quiet real estate year, but the data shows that's actually up 0.1% over 2024. So pretty much we'll call that flat. If you're only up 0.1%, that's flatlined, and that was from 2024. So we're actually in a stable market. Now, over time and a little bit later today, I'm going to talk about the craziness of the COVID market and the impact that that had on overall real estate. And again, any normal benchmarking would be going back to 2019. However, we're just going to talk 2024 over 2025 right now because that's the data available. So we're pretty much in a stable sale market. The average home price, again, for all types of homes in that larger geographic area was $621,299. And that's actually up over 2024 by 1.1%. There were 6,813 new listings that went on the market for that large area last year, and that was actually up 3.3%. I'm going to talk in detail in just a little bit about why that's happening. However, that is just a bit of data you can reflect on. I'm going to bring it back down a little bit tighter to just Kingston in my next set of data. But for now, we are looking at a 3.3% increase in listings over 2025 for the entire area. Now, realtors often talk about months of inventory. And what does that mean? And what does that mean to you? So months of inventory would mean that if no more houses went on the market starting today, how long would it be before we would run out of houses to sell? And so that is a data point because it does show us whether the pendulum is swinging towards a buyer's market or a seller's market, or even what we refer to as a balanced market. Right now, we're sitting at 4.8 months of inventory. So that means if no one else put their house on the market today, it would be almost 5 months before we ran out of homes to sell people. We are definitely tipping the scales in favor of a buyer's market, and there's lots of reasons for that. And that is also a 4.3% increase over 2024. So definitely, we are getting into the territory of a buyer's market. If you are looking to purchase, it is a great time. There's lots of homes that have been on the market for quite some time. If people are on the market in January, they're most likely motivated, so you could probably get yourself a really good transaction and make a really great purchase. Another data point that we'd like to talk about is days on market. So what is the average days on market? Right now, we're looking at an average of 26 days on market. And in 2024, that was 24 days on market. So just a couple of extra days, but it is taking longer to sell your home now than it did in 2024. And I wanted to pause here for a minute and talk about this because we did go through the craziness of the COVID market. And when you look at data from 2020, the average days on market was 7. And even 7 was artificially inflated because there is a strategy that realtors employ, which has its pros and cons, but often people will put their home on the market and they will not consider or review offers until a set date. And it is typically at least a week and at least through one open house so that they can get as many people through the home as possible. Typically, what they're trying to do is create a bidding situation, and we can talk about bidding situations and those options as well in the future. But then on the seventh day, they would typically sell it, and in 2020, typically in a bidding situation. Now, I'm saying if you looked at any of the data from 2020, absolutely average days on market would be 7 days. It could have been 1 or 0. And literally the 1 would just simply be because it took a day for the system to cycle and for anyone to be able to post that they had sold something. But as people experienced during the COVID time, particularly in a market like ours, people were leaving the GTA and they just wanted to get somewhere else that felt like it was going to be safe when work from home became what work from home became. people found setups out here where they thought they were either going to live a different type of lifestyle, they needed a bigger space so they could have a home office, and that was why things were selling so quickly and often for a significant amount of money over asking price. Now, again, there's so much I could say about that. You have to be so careful, and I think I'll hit on 2 points about that. But when you purchase a home, you're basically, well, you should have been and always should be pre-approved by the bank. And if the bank says to you, okay, Sherry, you can go spend $500,000, it's basically like being pre-approved with your parents' credit card to go shopping. At the end of the day, you're spending the bank's money and they have to agree with what you buy with their $500,000. So if you bought a $400,000 house and you got overexcited and you paid $100,000 in a bidding war, and then you go back to the bank and you say, okay, we bought this house for $500,000, and they send an appraiser out to look at that house, and the appraiser deems it's only worth $400,000, they're still only going to lend you the $400,000, and you would have to come up with the $100,000 shortfall. Most people don't have a spare $100,000 sitting around. I don't, and most people I know don't. So that's a dangerous thing. And that's the other thing that I talk to people about when they say, I'm pre-approved, I don't need a condition of financing. Yes, you do. Absolutely, you do. The bank has to agree with what you bought with their money and how much you paid for it. So that's the number one thing I would say about that. The number two thing that I would say about all that is when you hear that someone got $100,000 over asking price, the really important thing to look at is, was the asking price accurate? So unfortunately, and it is a strategy, sometimes people go to market at a really low listing price. And I can look at the listings and a couple might call me and say, oh my goodness, Sherry, can we go see this house? It's listed for $399. And I can look at the listing and I think, oh, that's so frustrating because it literally should be listed for $499. And now I have these people that I have to explain to them that it's listed too low. The strategy is that they're hoping to hold an offer date and get into a bidding situation and get the buyers up to the $100,000 actual price at $499. And then that realtor or brokerage can say, oh, look, we got 7 offers and we sold this house for over $100,000. But $100,000 over asking price. The problem is the asking price was too low. So be really, really careful when you're looking at things like that. And just be mindful of the fact that there are strategies. And at the end of the day, our job as professionals is to ultimately get the best price and a fair price for both buyers and sellers. That's enough of that, I guess, for today. So I'm going to zoom in a little bit closer into the first set of data that I gave you was that large Kingston and area real estate market. And now I'm going to zoom down to Kingston specifically. So right in the city limits. And 1,652 houses sold in 2025. And that was just down slightly from 2024 at 1.1% decrease. The average house price in the city of Kingston is $632,104 based on 2025 full year data, and that's just up 1% over 2024. There were 3,726 new listings, which is actually a pretty big jump, and that is up 9.7% over 2024. Now, I am going to pause here and talk a little bit more about why that's happening, and I'm absolutely going to have industry experts come in and talk about why that's happening. But we went through the frenzy of 2020 and 2021 when everything was unnatural and unsustainable, including mortgage rates. So people were able to finance homes at a mortgage rate of, say, 1.9%, and that was in 2020. We just came through 2025, and we're now into 2026. In a lot of cases, mortgage rates are 3 times that, and those people who made those purchases in 2020 and 2021 are now renewing their mortgages because mortgages renew on a 5-year cycle. Now, their mortgage costs are going to be three times what they were when they purchased, and some people just can't afford the house anymore. Unfortunately, the world hasn't gotten any better, and the economy hasn't gotten any better, and where there is job instability, this is making people really nervous, and they're putting those houses on the market. They're trying to offload them because they just can't afford them anymore, which is causing this influx of inventory for us and why we're almost up 10% over 2024 for the new listings in the Kingston and area market. So this is a stat to really closely watch, and it is in large part why people really closely watch the mortgage rates, especially for people who do investment properties, because you can't raise rent an equivalent three times amount that the mortgage rate went up. So the landlord is trying to cover the mortgage rate, and they're trying to cover the house insurance and the property tax and the household expenses, and in some cases, condo fees if they're renting out condos and they just can't increase rent. It wouldn't be fair, and they can't, but now they can't cover their spread, so the property isn't profitable for them anymore, and that's why people are newly putting things on the market. In Kingston, we have 4 months of inventory, which is an increase of 3.2% over 2024, so a little bit lighter than the larger area. And our average days on market is 22 right here in Kingston, so just a little bit quicker than it was in the larger rural area. Moving right along to everyone's favorite question. So everyone's favorite question is always, how is the market? And honestly, it depends. It's personal and it matters to you and your individual microeconomics in your world and in your family. Yes, we all have to be very mindful of what's happening in the world, in politics, in the larger economy, and how stable our incomes are. But all of our situations are individual. So whether you think it is time to purchase a home or to sell yours for personal reasons, it can absolutely be accomplished. You just need to make sure that ultimately, at the end of the day, you are confident and comfortable in the money that you commit to spend, or you are confident and comfortable in the money that you are going to get from a sale that's going to get you into your next chapter. So yes, those things are all very important, but it is personal. And the market can be what you need the market to be as long as you're deploying the right strategy and you are honest and you work through a good transaction and you make data-driven decisions, and that data can be your own data. It doesn't necessarily even have to be the larger market. And again, like I mentioned at the beginning, home ownership isn't going to be for everyone. There are people for which it is going to be unattainable. We recognize that rents are high, mortgages are high, you have to have a down payment, but you know what? You're still entitled to a safe home. And so we're going to explore ways to make sure that you can get into safe housing and to make sure that you are able to either be a good tenant or be a good landlord in a fair way. We are going to have on some leasing agents and some landlords and even some tenants to tell their stories about what it is from those perspectives. So I'm really excited about all the guests that we have lined up to be on our show. Like I mentioned, the first one is going to be Rob Francis, who is my colleague on the Stage One Real Estate team, and he is a military veteran. There are definitely special nuances to making a military move, and Rob and his family actually moved back and forth a couple of times to Kingston, and he decided when it was time to retire from the military that this is exactly where he wanted to make his permanent home. So he's been through many military moves. We are coming into that season very shortly in our market. And if there is anyone who needs advice or guidance on how to manage through that, he is absolutely the person that you should speak to. And we also always talk about the fact that we are going to have a very busy spring market. It is typically when people start to think about their move for the year and where they want to get to and where they want to be actually by the next school year. But that's extra busy in our market because we are a military town. So many of the military members are getting their assignments right now as to where they will be moving next. They get what is called an HHT, which is a house hunting trip, and they get 5 days to go to their next town and purchase a home. I actually did it with my daughter and her husband a couple of years ago, but it creates a bit of frenzy, and those people are here and they're seriously looking to buy homes. So we're already talking to people who are considering selling this year and making making sure that they have their hand up, that they are available during house hunting season. It is a special nuance of being in Kingston and the fact that we are privileged to be part of a military community. I can't believe that I'm saying this, but we're almost through episode one because, to be honest, I had more to say. There is always something interesting going on in the real estate industry and in the market. And as a realtor, the craziest and funniest things happen to me. I will leave you with one really quick, funny story before we sign off, but I am not lying. You can check it out on my social media that one day I was hosting an open house at Picton, Ontario, in one of my listings. And these kind of funny looking people started walking up my driveway. And then I realized it was one person and two persons and three people. And oh my goodness, they were all in identical costumes. And I'm going to leave you with the thought that it was seven Mrs. Ropers. So from the TV show back in the 70s with the crazy robe and the crazy wig, seven Mrs. Ropers came to my open house. With that, thank you so much for listening this morning and joining us for our first episode of Finding Your Way Home. We look forward to being part of your journey.
Years and they're still letting us near microphones.
It's true. We've got the music, the stories, and absolutely no filter.
From deep cuts to guilty pleasures, if it made noise in the last three decades,
we're probably playing it and maybe laughing about it.
This is 30 Years in Nonsense.
Hosted by Terry and Sherry Doherty.
Only on CFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston's campus and community radio.
Turn it up
and embrace the nonsense.
He who controls the spice controls the universe.
When the clock strikes midnight, the night truly begins. Step into the darkness on CFRC's Retro Radio Show, diving deep into the sounds of the past, from haunting classics to underground gems. This is DJ Terry, and every Friday night at midnight till 2 a.m., tune your dial to 101.9 or CFRC.ca and let the music pull you in.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, broadcasting with 3 million microwatts of power.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, and you're listening to me, Cindy, on Absolutely Frivolous. This is an all-audio comedy show, and we have tons of different comedy. We put on stand-up, songs, improv. We have interviews with funny people, all kinds of funny stuff. If we can find it, we put it on the air for you. Please check it out. Please keep tuning in, 101.9 FM. Garrison Keillor is an American author, storyteller, humorist, and radio personality. He is known as host of the Minnesota public radio show, A Prairie Home Companion. He was born in Anoka, Minnesota, the son of Grace Ruth and John Philip Keillor, who was a carpenter and a postal worker. Garrison Keillor started his professional radio career in November 1969 with Minnesota Educational Radio, now Minnesota Public Radio, and distributing programs under the American Public Media brand. He hosted the morning program in the weekday drive time slot of 6 to 9 a.m. on KSJR 90.1 FM at St. John's University in Collegeville, which the station called A Prairie Home Entertainment. The show's eclectic music was a major divergence from the station's usual classical fare. During this time, he also began submitting fiction to The New Yorker, where his first story, Local Family Keeps Son Happy, appeared on September 19, 1970. Garrison Keillor resigned from the morning program in February of 71 to protest what he considered an attempt to interfere with his musical programming. The show became A Prairie Home Companion when he returned again in October. Garrison Keillor has written numerous magazine and newspaper articles and more than a dozen books for adults as well as children. In addition to writing for The New Yorker, he has written for The Atlantic Monthly and Salon.com. He's also authored an advice column at Salon.com under the name Mr. Blue. Following a heart operation, he resigned in September of 2001, his last column being titled Every Dog Has His Day. This is Garrison Keillor on CFRC 101.9 FM.
the Lives of the Cowboys, brought to you by Santa Fe Brand Paper Punch. If you've ever tried to put papers in a loose leaf binder out on the trail, you know that the old method of punching holes just doesn't work. Now there's a punch that fits any saddlebag and makes holes that are smooth, not jagged, and evenly spaced. And now the Lives of the Cowboys.
You care for more beans?
No, thank you.
I got plenty.
Yeah, I see that. No thanks.
I just have to throw them out.
Well, you just do that. That's right. Skunks will eat them.
By the way, did you know that in a bowl of Irish bean soup, there are exactly 239 beans?
No.
Suppose you're wondering why. Because if there was one more bean, it would be too farty. Yeah, that was a joke there.
I suspected it was a joke, yeah. Yes.
What, you don't care for jokes?
Well, I like jokes. I just don't laugh at them, not sure.
You don't laugh?
No, I don't laugh.
Well, how come that is?
I don't know. I just never did. Mm-hmm.
Is it because of you and that Evelyn Bibelo?
No, no. It has nothing to do with that.
I think it is. I think you're still in love with her, even though she broke up with you.
No, she found somebody else there, Dusty. And
yeah.
She's got married and everything. So. Right.
Well, you're still in love, I can tell, because your eyes don't focus there.
My eyes don't focus because out here on the windswept, godforsaken prairie, there's nothing to focus on.
Well, you know?
Except for that cactus over there. I don't care to look at that, so.
Yeah, anyway. So, the old man died of a heart attack one Sunday morning when he was making love to his wife.
I see.
They made love every Sunday morning in time to the church bells ringing, which was a nice rhythm for him. Mm-hmm. Then, unfortunately, the ice cream truck came along.
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard that one before, actually.
I know, but it's a classic.
You told it yesterday.
All right, fine. How about this one here? Where are the Virgin Islands?
Nowhere near the Isle of Man, I can tell you that.
I told you that one, too, huh?
Okay. Yep.
Okay, what happened when the chicken slept under the car?
Under the car? She woke up oily the next morning.
Okay. Yeah. Why should you wear two pairs of pants when you play golf?
In case you get a hole in one.
Uh-huh. What do you call a man with a seagull on his head? Cliff.
I know. I heard that joke.
All right. Did you hear about the mechanic who was addicted to brake fluid?
Addicted to brake fluid?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
He said it was no problem. Right. He could stop anytime.
Right, exactly.
The Kleenex factory workers who went on strike?
That's right. Now everyone will have to pick it.
All right. Well, okay.
I mean, it's all jokes. Old jokes.
How am I supposed to get new jokes? Huh? Out here on the trail. I mean, you just have to use the ones I got over and over again.
Looks like we got visitors coming yonder.
Thank you. I think
you're right. A couple of rough hombres over there.
Very rough.
One of them looks like Big Messer.
You know that other one there? It's a man known as Spike.
Spike, huh? Keep my eye on
him. Howdy, boys.
Morning, Big Messer. Spike.
Yeah. Morning. What brings you two out here, anyway? Yeah.
Care for some beans? Got plenty of them.
Yes, sir. We got...
I came out here because I heard tell you said I was so ugly, I looked like I'd been bobbing for French fries. And I heard tell that you were telling people that when I sit on the beach, cats try to bury me.
Huh? I never said anything of that sort.
That's what they said you said.
Who said we said?
People said.
That's right. What people?
People in town.
All right, look, we ain't been in town for weeks.
Well, this was some time ago. Yeah, they said you told them that I was so dumb it took me an hour to make minute rice. That my teeth are so yellow that cars slow down when I smile. That true?
Mm-mm. Never said anything of the sort.
Uh-huh. You never said I was fat?
Never did. Not me. Nope.
And you? Did you say I was fat?
Nope, never did.
People said you said I was fat and have a great big butt.
hand.
I didn't see it.
Well, besides that my butt was so big that when I haul ass, I have to make several trips.
Well, I don't, huh? Don't know where they heard that. That's not from us. No,
I
sir.
Don't. Yeah.
Well, they said that you said that whenever I walk past a bathroom, the toilet flushes.
Oh, my.
Never said that.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I'm here to tell you that you're going to pay for saying these things.
Wait a minute, Spike.
Come on.
God damn, Spike.
Yeah. I'm going to cut you off.
Don't do it, please.
Today.
No.
Yeah, me and Big Messer here.
That's right.
We control wireless internet in these parts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other parts,
please,
too.
Don't do it.
Your online days are over, pal.
Yeah. Your account has been closed. Your password has been revoked.
Please don't do that to me.
Hey, wait a minute.
Too cruel.
Partner.
What?
You mean to tell me you had wireless access out here on the prairie all
As long as we stayed close to the telegraph
line? Well, you never told me that, for crying out loud.
Well, you never asked. What'd you think I was doing there, sitting there tapping away at my laptop?
Well, I thought you were, writing to Evelyn Bibelow.
Well, I was, actually.
Well, your days of writing to her are finished, mister.
That's right. You can get yourself a ballpoint pen and some postcards, pal.
Well, that don't beat all. If I'd have known you had wireless internet, then I could have found a whole new slew of jokes there.
Oh, you're looking for new jokes? Here's one. The only thing attracted to you is the force of gravity.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you're such a pig. When you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, they have to install a speed bump.
All right, now we're in the...
Oh, that hurt people.
Now, hey, fellas, what do you say we bury the hatchet?
Yeah,
get a little bottle of rot gut whiskey out here. What do you say about that?
Some pretty nasty root beer here, too.
I don't know, but what do you think?
A single root.
How about
single
that?
Root. Tastes like dirt, actually.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds pretty good to me.
All right, then.
Open a bottle here.
No.
There you go. Put a little rot gut in there for consistency.
All right. I'll take care of that. There we go.
There you go.
Wow. There, that's pretty good there. But then, now, there's no reason not to be friends.
Well, it smells like darn good rot gut, to tell you
there
that much.
It is.
Yep. All right, here we go. Here's to women and whiskey.
Women and whiskey.
Women. Yeah. Women especially.
Yeah. How about that, boys?
I didn't get married, Lefty.
Oh, that's right.
I couldn't do it because I'm in love with you. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I am.
I just don't think I'm the right person for you, Evelyn. I'm just too restless, that's all.
Guess I'm willing to take that chance.
I love you too much, Evelyn, to ever let you get mixed up with a person like myself.
Oh, Lefty.
Who's he talking to?
Lefty? Oh, he gets in this mood whenever he gets into the root beer.
Oh.
It's his lady love. They've broken up about 3 times.
Oh, so where is she now?
Well, he's not sure. Maybe Albuquerque, maybe Monteverde.
Wait.
Yeah?
Did you say Albuquerque?
That's right.
I had a gal in Albuquerque. Well, I used to. Gosh, haven't thought about her in years.
Well, you never told me about her.
Oh, yeah. She's a beautiful woman. Italian, I think she was.
Hey, I'm your best friend, Big Messer. I thought you would tell me these things.
Well, it was too painful to be talking about.
You never could forget her, huh?
Never could. I tell you, women, you can't live with them. You can't live without them.
I had a gal in Albuquerque, too.
You did?
Yeah.
In Albuquerque.
Yeah, she was in love with me, and then...
And what?
It's too painful.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even talk about it.
Well, here's my hanky. You take it.
It's been 10 years, and I never got over her. Pamela.
What'd you say?
Pamela. Yeah, never could forget her.
In Albuquerque.
Yep, Albuquerque.
That was the name of my girl in Albuquerque.
Pamela?
That's right.
You got a picture of her?
I do right here in my holster.
Wait.
There she is.
What?
Why you?
Come here. Give me that picture. You didn't know Pamela.
That was interesting, running into those two guys here.
Nice having to beat each other up and save us the trouble.
Mm-hmm. You gonna keep in touch with your lady, love?
Oh, I don't know. She's probably better off without me, I would say.
Well, that goes without saying.
Well. Cowboy wasn't meant to be happy there.
Mm.
Dusty, it's One thing we ought to know by now is that happiness was not part of the deal. Yeah. Mm. Get all good and lonesome out on the trail, and then we long for the comforts of society and companionship, and we head to town, and 2 days later, we're ready to be lonely again. It's just the meaning of it all.
So, what are we meant to be there?
Well, we're meant to be cowboys, I guess.
Yeah. What exactly does that mean?
I have no idea. That's what we're trying to find out here.
All right, then.
The Lives of the Cowboys, brought to you by Scorched Earth Underarm Deodorant. When you haven't bathed for weeks and you suddenly run into a beautiful woman you need results fast for, reach for Scorched Earth Underarm Deodorant and Antiperspirant. Takes away the smell and most of the hair.
Sue Scott and Jim Russell, Mr. Fred Newman, and Mr. Tom Keith.
This is Chris Brown from the Open Heart Society. Please support CFRC, your community radio, coming to you on 101.9 FM.
The Four Directions Aboriginal Student Center, located at 146 Berry Street, offers resources and services for Aboriginal students at Queen's University. Among its many services, the center offers a Three Sisters Feast Weekly on Wednesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. at the center, prepared by staff or a guest chef. The center is open daily, Monday to Friday, and hosts events throughout the year. For more information, visit queensu.ca/FDASC.
Five different DJs, 5 days a week. The Indie Wake Up Call, wrenching you from the perfect world of dreams to the harsh reality of the workday. Monday to Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. on CFRC 101.9.
Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/CFRC.
John Panette is an American actor and a stand-up comedian. He has toured the comedy club circuit since the 1980s, and he has appeared in cinema and television. Besides stand-up, John does impressions of the Chipmunks, Elvis Presley, Gollum from The Lord of the Rings, and an Ewok, as well as various ethnic accents. He occasionally sings from The Wizard of Oz in stand-up routines. He was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and he graduated from Malden Catholic School in 1982. He started a career in accounting, but on the advice of friends, he left to pursue a career in comedy. He got a break when asked to tour with Frank Sinatra. John Panette is a regular guest on The Tonight Show and on The View. John Panette was in duets, Dear God, and Junior. He was a regular on the series Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and he starred as the carjack victim in the final episode of Seinfeld. John Panette was named Stand-Up Comedian of the Year by American Comedy Awards in 1999, and he received a Gemini Award nomination for his televised performance at the Montreal Comedy Festival in 2000. Here's John Panette on Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I bought a house in Pennsylvania near my family. I have family that I'm always flying there to see. My sisters, my brother-in-laws, my nieces, my nephew, and I'll buy a house near my family. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm the youngest by 9 years. I have one sister in Pennsylvania. She's a health nut. We're very close. We go to a restaurant. I order. She said, he'll have a salad. So I have to order at another table and pretend to go to the bathroom a lot. My other sister, she's gonna decorate my house because I'm always on the road. She's gonna be my interior decorator. Now, I don't know what that is. I grew up poor, and not the kind of poor where you go, we were poor, but we never knew it. I was certain of it. And I was not happy about it. Periodically, I would say, hey, just want you to know that I know we're poor. So, I can't do anything with a house anyways. I've lived on the road, you know, half of my life. When I bought the house in Vegas, the first week I put the dishes outside for room service. Home Depot, I went to Home Depot. First of all, you could die in there, they'd never find you. Second of all, I realized everything here needs assembly and started to hyperventilate and had to wait in a car. I can't work on anything in the house. If you can do home improvements, if you can do repairs, that's craft. That's God-given talent. I shouldn't do it. I just know I shouldn't do it. If something goes wrong, I call. It made a spark. I'm leaving now. Call me when it doesn't do that anymore. But I didn't have to worry about anything in Pennsylvania because I had my interior decorator to take care of the house for me. She's gonna decorate it. She's gonna shop for the furniture. She's dragged me to 80 furniture stores. I've lived there 18 months. We're still going to furniture stores. I almost killed one furniture guy. I said, I'll take this couch. We'll order it for you. It'll take 14 weeks. It's right here. Help me get it in the truck. No, this is our floor model. If we give you this, people won't know what we have. Yeah, but you don't have it, so help me get it in the truck. I went to one furniture store. I heard angels. Ha, ha, ha. Lazy boy. Yeah, my furniture's in there. It has my name on it. My sister brings stuff over every day that I'm off the road to decorate the house. She brought over a chestnut roasting pan. It's from the 18th century. Wow. That's great. I was walking around the kitchen the other day going, where's my chestnut roasting pan? And I said, well, I guess I'll go get some chestnuts. She said, no, it's just to hang up on the wall. No! You paid $250 for that out of my money. I'm roasting chestnuts in it. I don't care if I burn the house down. I'm originally from Boston, as I said, and I have an autographed shirt of Larry Bird in my kitchen. I come back from the road, and it's been taken down and replaced with a picture of a giant pear. And she's in front of the pear going, now isn't that better? And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but what a giant pear! Was I eating a pear one day and going, this pear is so good. I wish I had something to remind me of it for the rest of my life. And then I asked her, I said, where's my Larry Bird shirt? Oh, I put that away. Where? She has a bad memory. And so I'm going, where? Away. Somewhere. And she does that with a lot of my stuff. She puts it away. So on my days off from the road, I walk around the house looking for all my stuff that's gone away. Why does everything I love go away? And the neighbors see me wandering around the house. Look at that poor little man. He wanders and he's so sad. They can see me because there's no blinds in the house. Yeah, I got an estimate for blinds. You know about blinds? They're expensive. I didn't know that. They want like $5,000. I'm not paying that. If I walk around naked long enough, the neighbors will chip in. How are you, Mr. and Mrs. Lipinski? My family ruined Thanksgiving for me. My first Thanksgiving in the house, I was gonna host it. I never hosted Thanksgiving. I was gonna have it catered. I wanted to be done really nice. They said, no, you always take us to restaurants. We're gonna cater it for you. We're bringing food. There's 10 of us. My sister brings a 12-pound turkey. Grace did not go the way I would have liked it to. Thank you, God, for the 12-pound turkey. I didn't know they made them that small. It must have got hit by a car. I hope it didn't suffer. Since there are 10 of us, tell me there are 9 more turkeys just like this in the kitchen. Tell me this is like the Cornish game hen of turkeys. And my other sister, the health nut, she brought the vegetables. She brought turnips. People bring stuff to your house. You want to be nice, gracious. How do you like my turnips? I think you're supposed to eat these. These suck with butter on them. And nothing sucks with butter on them. Turnips are a horrible vegetable and they show up during the holidays. Nobody cooks turnips on a weekly basis. What is with the turnip? First of all, you can't cook it. can't cut it with any knife in the kitchen. You have to bounce it off the concrete for an hour to soften it up. Then you have to boil it for 8 hours. If it's that difficult, the turnip doesn't want to be eaten. Turnips are a root vegetable. They grow in the ground. That means at the beginning of the world, God made the turnip and said, no. This didn't come out right. Gabriel, try this. Oh, you don't like it either, huh? I was gonna put it on a tree, but you know what? I'll bury it and they won't find it. Yeah, well, some idiot dug it up and brought it to my house for Thanksgiving.
The year was 1966, 3 years before the well-known Stonewall riots. In the Tenderloin district of San Francisco, a rapid development of the area had caused many transgender people into more low-income housing and to the streets. As cross-dressing was illegal at the time, in San Francisco, many people had difficulty securing employment. In addition, police enforcement had increased its pressure within the community. The heated relationship between the trans community and police exploded during an altercation between a police officer and a transgendered patron in Gene Compton's cafeteria. An officer attempting to arrest a trans woman was paid in kind with a cup of coffee to his face. The riot began and spread to the streets, whereby a police car was destroyed. The next night brought more members of the trans community with Tenderloin street folks and other members of the queer community to picket Compton's cafeteria, which had refused to let transgender people back in. The riot marked a turning point in queer organizing and LGBT history. Do you know your Pride history?
This is the Opera. Hello, I'm David Smith, and I'd like to invite you to explore the exciting world of opera with me every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on CFRC. We'll listen to opera excerpts, full-length operas, and profiles of artists past and present. Please join me every Sunday from 11 till 1 for This is the Opera.
Many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs. I've made some bad rhyme. I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone now. And I'm singing this song for you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I've treated you unkindly, but girl, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. So darling, can't you please see through me? 'Cause we're alone now, and I'm singing my song for you. You taught me precious secrets, the truth withholding nothing. You came out in front and I was hiding. But now I'm so much better. So if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love's in there hiding. There's no space or time. I love you for my life, 'cause you're a friend of mine. Ooh. And when my life is over,